day is coming.
Amen.
Aren't you glad for that? I want to talk to you about another day that's coming. It's not as grand as that day, but just as sure as the day that we've heard sing about this morning is coming, the day that I'm going to speak to you about from the Word of God is coming as well. It's a day that as believers, I'm thankful that we won't be here. It's a day that the Apostle Paul mentions as he's writing to the church at Thessalonica here in the fifth chapter in verse number 2. He mentions it as the day of the Lord. Do you see it there in verse number 2? We have been talking about the rapture of the church as we've been navigating our way through 1 Thessalonians. We've spoken about some different subjects. I've mentioned to you that the main theme of this letter is the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's mentioned various times. It's also in the end of each chapter, it ends with a direct reference to the second coming. Most people are aware of chapter number 4 and the way that ends, but chapter 5 ends that way as well. Chapter 3, chapter 2, and chapter 1 all make references to the second coming. I want you to remember how this section got started. Paul said in verse number 13 of chapter 4, he said, but. And so he's kind of saying, you ought to keep your vessel. You ought to live right. You ought to live honestly. And he said, now I want to address some things that you are unaware of, that you've been ignorant. He said, I don't want you to be ignorant. I want you to be informed. And so he begins to talk to them about saints that have passed off the scene. One of the things that I'm thrilled about is that when Jesus comes again, if you'll notice in verse number 14 of chapter number 4, he's either coming with me or for me. And that would just about sum it up. He says in chapter number 14, or chapter 4, verse number 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. And so if you go on before this time takes place, well then Jesus is going to bring you with him. Now if you're still here when he comes, if you'll notice with me in verse number 17, it says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. So he's either going to come with you or for you. But he's coming back. Jesus is coming back. Now, there's chapter divisions here, and I'm thankful for chapter divisions. I'm thankful for chapters and verses to help us identify places in the Scripture. In chapter 5 and verse number 1, the first word is but. And so it's a continuation of the discussion that Paul is having. He said, now I've addressed what's going to happen to the saints of God. I've addressed those that sleep in Jesus, those that have preceded us in death. They're going to rise first, and then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them, the dead in Christ, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And he said in verse number 18, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Use this as comfort. Now, there's a reason that he said that. Now, he certainly was speaking about you comfort each other, that those that have preceded us in death are not going to be left out. Because when Jesus comes again, he's going to resurrect them. Amen. And they're going to be caught up with us. And so we're all going to heaven together. Amen. That's right. That's what the Word of God says. You say, well, what about those that are already there? Well, they're going to come back with Jesus, meet us in the air, get their glorified body. Listen, then we're going to be translated as we rise up together to meet them in the clouds and the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. But, Paul said, that's not the end. He said, there's more to come. And he said in verse number 1, he said, I want to speak to you about some things that's going to take place. That event is going to start a reaction of things that's going to happen centered around Jesus coming again. And there's several things, and I'm not going to get into all of them, but I want you to know that the next major prophetic happening on God's calendar is the rapture of the church. God's going to take us out of here. Amen. So, well, I'm looking for signs. You need to be looking for the Savior. Amen. Stop this sign watching and start looking for the Savior. Jesus is coming again. So, well, I'm concerned about the Antichrist. You need to get concerned about Jesus Christ. Because before the Antichrist is revealed, Jesus Christ is coming back. That's right, brethren. And Paul said, I want to tell you about it. Now, Jesus is going to take us out of here. And then there's going to be this series of happenings, almost like a domino effect, that's going to take place. There's going to be some things taking place in the heavenlies. There's going to be some things taking place here on earth. In heaven, the believer will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. There will be the marriage supper of the Lamb. We may or may not get into that in a later study. On earth, there's going to be two major events, as there will be in heaven. In heaven, the two major events, judgment seat of Christ, where believers will be judged not for their sin, but for their service. And we shall receive rewards as we have served Jesus. And then there'll be the marriage supper of the Lamb. I'm pulling up to the king's table, in other words. Amen. And if you're saved, you are too. And on this earth, there's going to be tribulation, and then there's going to be great tribulation. Now, there is a difference. There's a 1,260-day period or three-and-a-half-year period in the tribulation as well as in the great tribulation, two separate events with two separate timelines. And now the Apostle Paul said, I want to cue you in on some things of how you can prepare for that. Now, he told us in verse number 14 how to prepare for the rapture of the church. Look at what he said here. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, amen, if you have received what Jesus has done for your sin, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are ready for the rapture. Amen. Now, not if you've joined a church. Please listen to me. Not if you are doing good deeds. Not if you were brought up in a Christian home, or if you believe in a God, or if you believe in God. That's not how you are ready for the rapture. You need to repent of your sin and trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. When you place your faith where Jesus has placed your sin, amen, which is on Him, He hath made Him to be sin for us. I'm glad God put my sin on Jesus. And I have accepted that, and now I have received His righteousness. And so when God sees me, He doesn't see me as an old sinner. God sees me as the righteousness of Christ, which is the way God sees every born-again believer. And so this is how you prepare. Verse number 14, this is how you prepare for the rapture. Now, the Apostle Paul said, I want to get you equipped for how you are to live until that day. He said, this is how you should live until the rapture takes place. He said, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, leading up to the time when the rapture will take place, he said, of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. Now, there's a reason the Apostle Paul said this. No doubt he dealt with it when he was there in Thessalonica. And he reverted back to a time when Jesus was being ascended. I want to read you some scripture. When Jesus was ascended into heaven, he made this statement. He said, Acts 1 verse 6, when they were therefore come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And he said, ye shall be witnesses unto me. What is Jesus teaching? He's teaching, I'm coming back. There's no need in you trying to search for a day. There's no need in you trying to set a date. You just live with the fact that I'm coming back. The certainty in this is that Jesus is coming again. I'm certain of that. I am not certain as to when. So I need to stand guard. You need to stand guard. Amen. We need to be witnesses. Why? Because there are many people that are not ready for Jesus to come again. There's many people that have not trusted Jesus as their Savior. And so Jesus said, instead of getting concerned about when I'm coming back, you get concerned about who's going to be going when I do. You quit searching for dates and times and seasons. You quit looking for signs, and you put on your witnessing shoes, and you get out there and you tell people, I'm coming again. And if they're not prepared, they're not going. He said, so you be a witness. Brethren, help us. Listen, may everyone in this church understand the importance of getting people to know that Jesus is coming again, and that if they're not saved, they're going to be left behind. And so he said this. He said, I want you to think about the expectation. There's going to be a surprise. Notice what he said. He said, the expectation and a surprising day. He said, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord, verse number 2, shall come as a thief in the night. Now, what does this mean? Well, when Jesus comes, well, let me just quote you some scripture here. Matthew 24 and verse number 42 through 44. Listen very carefully. Watch, therefore. This is Jesus speaking. When he said, I'm coming back. And he said, just like the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And then he went on to say, watch, therefore, for you know not hour your Lord doth come, but know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Jesus said, I'm going to come at a time when it's unexpected. It's going to be just like a thief. The good man didn't expect the thief to come. The thief doesn't announce his coming. He comes at a time which is not looked for. And so he said, you watch. You watch. And we'll get to how in just a moment. And then he said this, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Can I ask you a question? And let's all just be transparent this morning. How many people woke up this morning and said, perhaps today Jesus will come? How many people yesterday, even among believers, now let's not, listen, let's not count those that are religious people, that are church-going people, that are lost without Jesus, that are tied up with all the things that are going on in this world, that are diverted and distracted by all that's taking place in our world. Let's count those who attend a Bible-believing church, who believe the Bible, who have been saved by the grace of God. How many do you think woke up this morning? I have no way of knowing. I'm not judging people's hearts. I'm just saying, brethren, that we're living in a day when people are not looking for Jesus to come again. Did you know that the Bible says that's when he's coming? In an hour that ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Even Peter said, you know, there's going to be those in the last days. Turn, if you would, to that passage in 2 Peter chapter 3 just for a moment. Would you turn to that? You say, where's that at? Well, if you go back toward the end of the Bible, the back of the Bible from 1 Thessalonians, you'll come to Hebrews, James, 1 Peter, then 2 Peter. And I want you to look at chapter number 3. And this is what Paul said about, or Peter said about Jesus coming again. He said, you know, in the last days, he said, there's going to be scoffers that rise up. And they're going to be saying, where is the promise of his coming? You know, I've been hearing that all of my life. And I can hear somebody saying that even today. I can almost imagine that there are folks saying, well, you know what? This is some kind of scare tactic, or that preacher is some kind of fear monger. Brethren, I'm not trying to put fear. If I'm trying to put anything, I'm trying to put reverence. I'm trying to put expectation in your heart that Jesus is coming again, and we need to be alert. We need to be awake. We need to stand our post. We need to be on guard. 2 Peter chapter 3, notice if you would, in verse number 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Now Peter said they're willfully ignorant. And so there are people that are saying this, and there's folks that are saying that, you know, that all things are as they remain. And Peter said, no, that's not the case at all. And I want you to listen very carefully to what he says. After he answers these critics, he gets back to something that's very important in verse number 8. He says, but beloved, he said, now listen, there are those that are going to say, where is the promise of his coming? And he said, listen, if you would just not willfully be ignorant and just listen, and just really take heed to what God has done and said, it'll help you to understand. He said, but now, beloved, You that are saved, you that know, he said in verse number 8, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years and 1,000 years is one day. Now, I don't know all that that means, but the math's pretty easy. 1,000 years equals one day in God's economy, on God's calendar. So that tells me, for those that would say, it's been so long since Jesus said he was coming back. How long is it going to be? Well, it's only been 2 days. That's what Peter's saying. Peter's saying, listen, God doesn't do math the way you do math. God doesn't do time the way you do time. God's eternal. God's everlasting. And so he said, instead of counting the days and counting the hours and trying to set a date and looking for times and looking for seasons, what you need to be doing as a believer is you need to be watching and praying. Look at what he said over and over again. In verse number 10, he said, but here's our day again, the day of the Lord. You see that? That's the day that Paul's writing about. That's the day when judgment and wrath is coming. Now, he just got through writing about grace and mercy, how God's going to come and take us out of here in the rapture, Paul did. And then he began to talk about wrath and judgment. Peter does the same. He said, but the day of the Lord, please don't miss this in verse number 10. Are you with me? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come. It's coming, brethren. It's coming. Where's the promise of his coming? It's coming. Amen. Well, I just don't believe it's going to come. Doesn't matter. It's coming. Jesus is coming. Just like he said. Right on time. He's not going to be late. He's not going to be early. He was born right on time. In the fullness of the time, God sent forth his son. God sent his son right on time. Jesus died right on time. God had a perfect time for Jesus Christ to offer himself a sacrifice for the sin of the world. Jesus was born on time. Jesus died on time. Jesus resurrected right on time. 3 days later, amen. Just like God said, Jesus ascended right on time, just like God said he would. 40 days, brethren. And there's a significance in that. There's a significance in that. And he ascended into heaven right on time. Can I tell you that same Jesus is coming back right on time, amen. Right on time. So cast out the doubt. Get the devil off your shoulder. Don't listen to the naysayers. Listen to what thus saith the Lord. I'm here to tell you now, listen to me. Jesus Christ is coming again. When's he coming, preacher? I don't know. I'm uncertain. But I'm going to talk about certainties. I am certain he is coming back. Peter said, I'm certain. Verse number 10, look at it now. But the day of the Lord will come. How's that? He said, just like the Apostle Paul said, as a thief in the night. We're not ignorant. We're not in the dark on this. We're in the light. Brethren, you're looking at a man that's in the know. Are you in the know? Do you know what God's going to do? Do you know what God is doing in our world today? People watch the news and they watch things and they wring their hands and they say, oh my, don't you wring your hands. Don't you wring your hands. You lift your eyes toward heaven knowing that your redemption draweth nigh. He said here in verse number 11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be? He keeps saying, just keep looking. Look at verse number 12. Looking for. You see that? Look at verse number 13. Nevertheless, we according to his promise, look for. You see that? Look at verse number 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for. He said, you just keep looking. Don't you get lax now. Don't you go to sleep. Don't you go to sleep on God. You might go to sleep on the preacher from time to time. I've been guilty of that myself. Not while I was preaching. While somebody else was preaching. But don't you go to sleep on God now. Go back to 1 Thessalonians. And he said in verse number 2 of chapter 5, but yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. He said, now you don't know everything about this. I don't know everything about this. You don't know everything about this. I'm uncertain about some things, but I'm certain that Jesus is coming. I'm certain on the thing that matters the most. I know he's coming. Then he said, not only is there going to be a surprising day in which Jesus is going to set off this series of events. He's going to come, and then he's going to set in motion this time. It's the day of the Lord. What do you know about that day? Can I tell you that we have a world that is asleep? Did you notice as Paul was writing, he kept mentioning us, we, but then he mentioned they and them. Notice if you would here, I'm not going to go back into chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, but if you will, sometimes it's just constantly we, you, we, you. Verse number 1 of chapter 5, but of the times of the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. And then he said in verse number 2, for yourselves know perfectly. But notice if you would in verse number 3, for when they, not you, not we, not us, but when they, those that are not in the know, those that did not go up in the rapture, those that are not going to heaven, when they, look at it, verse number 3, shall say peace and safety. He said, let me give you a hint here. He said, there's going to come a day when people are going to be clamoring for peace. There's going to come a day when people are going to be clamoring for safety. The normalizing of peace and safety is going to disappear to where people is going to be really, they're going to be pursuing and clamoring and calling for it. Does that sound familiar? He said this, notice if you would, he said, for when they shall say peace and safety, then come a sudden destruction upon, what's that next word, church? Them. Not us. Not us. Them. The day of the Lord is not for us. Now, we are going to set that day into motion by leaving here. Because when we leave now, the judgment of God's going to come. That's right. When the rapture of the church takes place, now God's going to judge the earth. When the rapture of the church takes place, listen to me carefully now, the grace dispensation, say that's a big word, just means time period in which God chooses to deal with men. The grace dispensation is coming to a close. The invitation of grace, brethren, listen to me, the church is going to be fulfilled. It's going to be completed. And we're leaving here. And so the grace and the mercy of God that has stemmed back and held back the wrath and judgment of God is going to be taken. And now the fury of God and the wrath of God is going to be poured out upon this earth. And the nations shall be judged. I wish I had time to go into Matthew 25. I would encourage you to read it sometime. It talks about the judgment of the nations. Brethren, can I tell you, the nations of this world, the nations of this earth are going to be judged by God. Oh, and America's a Christian nation, and we're the only ones that's going to be judged. No, all nations. All the nations are going to bow down before Him. Every nation is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. There will be sheep nations and there will be goat nations, and the sheep nations that are friends with Israel, the sheep nations that have given and have protected and have stood by God's chosen people, they will be on the right hand. And the goat nations that have rejected and cursed and that have slaughtered and that have rebelled against God will be on the left hand side. Read it sometime. The nations are going to be judged. And the Bible says here in 1 Thessalonians in chapter number 5, it says that when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction. Oh, that word, brethren, it's a word that it's annihilation. It's a terrible thing. I just want to read you a few passages that I looked up and typed down on the day of the Lord. Would you listen carefully? Maybe you write the passages down and you'll take it home and read it sometime. You know, we live in a day, and many of you, I look out across this congregation and I see some folks that remember some of the wars, some of the carnage of World War II, some of the tyranny of guerrilla warfare. You remember what that term means. There's people today that would have no idea what that means, guerrilla warfare. Terrorism, terrorist attacks, genocide, ethnic cleansing. You think about all that this world has encountered with devil-possessed and evil men and evil people doing the unconscionable unto fellow human beings. School shootings, the killing of babies through abortion, that's murder. The killing of innocent children. We've seen the cataclysmic happenings of tsunamis and hurricanes and tornadoes and flooding. We look across our country and our land and we see all of these things, the horrors and the horrific things that have been brought upon this earth. But can I tell you, the Bible says over and over and over again, there's coming a day that no day has ever been like. There's coming a day when the wrath of God is going to be poured out upon this earth, and the great day of His wrath is going to come. And John said in the book of the Revelation, who shall be able to stand? It's real, brethren. It's real. I love to preach God's grace. I love the fact that I'm a recipient of God's grace. I love the fact that I can get the message that God is a God of grace and a God of mercy, and that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But I am compelled to tell you, I am commissioned, I am called to tell everyone that the wrath of God is coming upon this earth one day. Joel chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble for the day of the Lord. That's the day that we're talking about. The day of the Lord cometh. For it is nigh at hand, a day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and strong. There hath not, listen now, Joel, there hath not been ever the light, neither shall they be any more after it. Jeremiah 30, verse number 7. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. Did you get it? The prophets are, listen, they're coinciding. The prophets are in agreement that this day that I speak to you about this morning, the day of the Lord, there's none like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, Israel, Jacob's trouble. But he shall be saved out of it, Daniel 12, 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, listen, such as never was since there was a nation, even to the same time. Never been a time like this. Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 21, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Preacher, why are you telling us this morning? Because I'm preaching the Bible to you. I'm telling you, brethren, that what God has said is so. And that one day Jesus is coming back. It may be in our lifetime, it may not. I don't know. But I do know this. While I am uncertain as to when he's coming, I'm certain. And when he does, the day of the Lord's going to come. And God's going to pour out his wrath upon this earth. And so Paul said, just as I have told you how to prepare for the rapture, I want to tell you how to prepare for this day, right here. You say, how can I prepare for this day? I'm not even going to be a part of it. Oh, that's where you're wrong. See, God left you here to warn people about this day. What do you think God left you here for? So you could just do what you enjoy doing and live your life the way you want to live it, and I can just go about doing what I want to do and have no thought of what God's purpose and plan for the ages are, so that I can just get all caught up in my little world instead of what God is doing in his world? No, brethren, no. Don't miss it now. God's holding me accountable. God's holding you accountable. God left us here to get this message out. And so the Apostle Paul said, notice now, the Apostle Paul said, there's a coming a day, and he said it's going to be a surprising day, and then he said it's going to be sudden destruction. Notice it now. Notice what he said in verse number 3, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction. Just when it looks like the scales are tipping, just when it looks like, man, this is great, 3.5 years, there's going to be a covenant sign, the man of sin, the son of perdition, the Antichrist is going to come on the scene, and I mean, it just seems like, well, this is what we all have been wanting. This is great. Sudden destruction. You know, there's a phrase in Matthew 24, I'll say this and move on. My time's about up. I didn't say it was up. I said it was about up. You know, the Lord Jesus, when he said, I want to give you a little peek. That's a southern term, right? A little peek behind the prophetic curtain. And he said, as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, I want you to think just for a moment, the days of Noah. Just keep that in your mind. That's Matthew 24. Luke 17, he said, but as the days of Lot were. You know what was going on in those 2 days? Just life. Just life. People just caught up in all kinds of things. People say, well, you know, I tell you, that Sodom and Gomorrah, they were destroyed because of the act of sodomy. Well, you know, I partially agree with that. I can't deny it. The Bible says so. But can I tell you what else the Bible says in Ezekiel? Please don't miss this. It says that God destroyed Sodom because of their iniquity. What was the number one thing he mentioned? Anyone? Thank you, brother. Pride. Pride. You seen anyone puffed up with pride lately? If I'm not careful, I'll shave him in the morning. Yeah. Pride. Wait a minute, we're not through with Sodom. What else? See, when we think of Sodom getting destroyed, we think of the act of sodomy. But he said pride. Listen now. Pride. Fullness of bread. I don't need to work. It'll just be given to me. Fullness of bread. How do you know it means that? Because right after that it says, and an abundance of, are you listening? Idleness. Idleness. Nothing to do but get in trouble. No responsibility, no reason to live, no reason to even get up in the morning. God, I pray, and I mean, God's listening now. If I ever lose a reason to get up in the morning, God, take me to heaven. Or rearrange my thinking. I have a job to do, brethren. You do too. If I don't have a job to do down at the plant, down at the business, down at the corner market, I have a job to do for my Lord and my Savior. We have a work to do. And he said there's pride, there's fullness of bread, there's abundance of idleness. Neither did they strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. What'd you do to help somebody poor this week? See, if we're not careful, we'll blame that on the rich and famous. Man, them movie stars, they don't help nobody. Oh, they run around with all this money in their pocket. They won't even help the poor and the needy. Can I tell you, the movie stars hadn't been necessarily called upon to do it. We have. How are we helping the poor and needy? Did you help somebody this week? Did you lend a helping hand? Did I? Did we tell someone about Jesus? You say, well, I'm poor myself. Well, don't you ever let that stop you from helping somebody. Amen. So, the days of Noah. You know what happened? The days of Noah. They were eating and drinking and marrying. Listen carefully now. Until the flood came. Took them all away. Sudden. Just like that. You know, somehow my mind, and I'm going to just give a thought here. In my mind, I can hear all of these edumacated people. You know what edumacated people are, don't you? That's people who know everything. And I can hear them saying, I tell you, there's something wrong with that old preacher down there, at Noah, that preacher of righteousness. I've been following the science, and the science says, I tell you who you better follow. If you're going to follow science, you better line it up with the Word of God. I'm glad God is a God of science. Amen. We had too many people following science instead of the Savior. It'll get you in trouble. It'll have you wearing masks when you shouldn't. It'll have you staying home when you shouldn't. Amen. That's right. It'll have you judging others when you need to just take a look at your own life. It'll have you falling around like a dumb sheep instead of leading like a bold lion. We're Christians. And you do whatever your heart dictates, but when it starts going against the Word of God now, we've got a problem. Amen. And the Word of God says that as believers, brethren, as believers, we are to follow this book. You say, well, the Bible doesn't say anything about masks. Well, listen, if that offended you, you have deeper problems than me. I want you to listen to me. We're living in a day when people no longer use just regular common sense. We're not looking. We're doing far more listening to the wrong voices than we are looking for the right cause. We need to get focused on what God left us here to do. And until we get focused on that, we're going to lose our way, brethren. We're going to lose our way. Let's not lose our way. Let's not lose our way. So he said in verse number 4, but ye, brethren, are not in the darkness. By the way, that verse number 3, are you back there? 1 Thessalonians 5, verse number 3. They're not going to escape. They're not. I'm not happy about that. I'm very sad. Very sad. Because as I said, there's a lot of voices, I believe, back in that day. There's a lot of voices today that'll tell you. Now listen to me. I'll tell you right now, you go down there to that Fellowship Baptist Church, That Noah, I don't know what's got into him. Don't he know God is a God of love? And don't he know that God would never do that? I just don't see any scientific evidence of a flood. You got your philosophers lining up. Well, you know, the way I see it, well, I tell you, this world is headed like a rocket in the wrong direction. So don't you get on for the ride. Stay in this book. Stay in this book. Let's close it up. But ye, brethren, not in the darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Stay in the book. How are you going to do that? Well, let's see. Ye are all, verse 5, children of the light and children of the day. We're not of the night nor of darkness. Aren't you glad that we can walk in the light? Aren't you glad that the entrance of thy word giveth light? Aren't you glad for that? A light into our path and a lamp into our feet. Aren't you glad for that? Notice if you would in verse number 5, you are all the children of the light, the children of the day, and not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Don't go to sleep on God now. Don't go to sleep. Watch. You know what that word means? Stay awake. Look it up. That's exactly what it means. Stay awake. Be sober. Don't get drunk on the lies of the world. Don't let the mainstream media dull your senses and have you investing in the wrong things. He said in verse number 7, for they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are, and there again we see the difference in the they's and the we's, verse number 7, for they that sleep, but he said, let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. Are you dressed? You got on the breastplate? Breastplate of what? What's it say? faith and what? Love. The helmet of salvation. Get your heart right and your head right. That's what he said. Protect your heart. Protect your thoughts. It's important. And he says, so in these last days in which you live, the devil's coming after this right here. All right? The world's coming after this right here. Wants to contaminate this. And wants us to think differently than what the Scripture teaches. Wants to line us all up to think like the world and think like the enemy and live in such a casual, nonchalant way that where we don't regard what the things of God says and we don't regard what the Word of God says and we don't do what God says do. We don't live our lives in the light that this day is coming. I wonder if you can shut your Bible and look up here at me just for a moment as we bring this to a time of invitation. You know, as I've been studying again the second coming, I'm going to be transparent with you. Okay? Because I believe in transparency. I need to be reminded, probably more than I would like to admit to you, that what I just preached to you this morning is going to happen. It's going to happen. Is it pleasant? No. Not on this side. But I can tell you this. God always does what's right. He always does what's right. And so knowing that God is going to judge the world is not a bad thing. It's not. Because God has been very gracious to this old world. God, even now, extends his arm of grace and says, come. There's a Savior that says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. Let us get this message out there. Because as I've told you this morning, one day, the age of grace is going to come to a close. And the door to the church is going to be shut. You say, well, preacher, that doesn't scare me. I don't want you to get scared. I want you to get serious. Would you stand with me for a moment? Now, the invitation is going to be this. We've been told in these passages of Scripture how to prepare for the rapture. And if you're here today and Jesus were to come, and you don't know. Now, I don't mean hope so. Listen. Well, I tell you, that helmet of salvation, if you'll look that up, it literally means assurance to know for sure who you belong to and where you're going. And for a helmet, the hope of salvation, to be absolutely sure in such a way that you're anticipating the blessed hope. That you can pray, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Are you prepared for the rapture? If Jesus were to come today, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? 100%. Now, this is not something you want to play the odds. You want to be absolutely certain. In just a moment, the pianist is going to begin to play. And if you're not 100% sure, I want you to come down here to the altar. And I want you to ask God to give you that assurance, and he will. Now, if you get down here and you need someone to pray with you, if you'll just look up to me, I'll get someone to come and pray with you, even if I have to take you in another room. This is how important that is. You don't want to play around with this, okay? You say, there you go, trying to scare me. Nope, just trying to get you to understand the seriousness of this matter. Number two, not only are we told how to prepare for the rapture, but we're told how to prepare for the day of the Lord. Walk in the light. Walk in the light. Put on the breastplate of faith and love. Protect your heart, brethren. Be careful what you let in your heart. Be careful what you let in your eye gate and ear gate. Put on the helmet of salvation. Protect your mind. Protect yourself in this dark world in which we live. Live in assurance. Live in certainty. So that you won't become weakened, if not even stranded on the journey in the dark day in which we live. Would you bow your head with me? Who here did God speak to your heart?